Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. A special word of welcome to all our visitors this morning. The order of service is found in your bulletin. The hymns are listed on the board up there. A couple of announcements. As most of you know already, Pastor Baumsch has accepted the call to be the new minister at Grace Lutheran Church. The installation date and time is still to be determined. Also, this coming Saturday, October 13th at 11 o'clock, we'll be having a memorial service for Eileen Schult. Also, the baby bottles for Living Well Ministries are out there. Next Sunday is when they need to be turned in, so if you would kindly take a baby bottle, take it home, fill it up with the spare change, or better yet, put a $100 bill in it and bring it back, that would be most welcome. So opening hymn is hymn number 605.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up in order to test Jesus and ask, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate today on this theme, that in the gospel lesson for today, Jesus reveals the sacramental nature of marriage and family. In the name of Jesus. The way of faith is to receive the gifts as they come from God. The way of unbelief is to refuse those gifts or to look for loopholes to justify our refusal of his gifts. The Pharisees, we are told, came to Jesus with a question to test him. You already know, because it was a test question, that it was not an honest one coming from the source that it came. They want to corner Jesus. They want to trap him in his own words. Get him to take a side in the controversy. Label him a liberal or a conservative. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What kind of question is that anyway? Why are you asking? Jesus inquires. Are you looking to dump your wife? Are you trying to justify yourself and your marital history? Are you trying to condemn someone else? Why would someone ask such a question? Jesus answers the question with a question. What did Moses command you? That leaves a rather wide open field. Moses wrote the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Rather than quoting from Moses, Jesus invites the Pharisees to consider from their own mental concordance and come up with some scripture themselves, which might prove their point. Which text would they choose? Not surprisingly, they choose the loophole, the exception, the accommodation. Moses allowed a man, they say, to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. Well, not exactly, you see. What Moses did say was that if a man divorced his wife, and if he gave her a certificate of divorce, and if she went and married another man, and if he divorced her too, then she can't go back to husband number one. That's what Moses actually said. But that, you see, was already an accommodation, as Jesus explained, because of the hardness of your hearts. Hard hearts are unbelieving hearts, unrepentant hearts, hearts unwilling to receive the gifts of God, including the wife or the husband, child or parent, God has given you. Not so from the beginning, Jesus says. And here he sort of trumps Moses with Moses, if you will. He trumps Deuteronomy with Genesis. He trumps the practical with the real, the accommodating loophole with the gift from God. But from the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That was the Old Testament text for this morning. That's what Moses said about husbands and wives in the beginning, before there was sin, before the fall, before Adam and Eve became self-absorbed, self-oriented, self-justifying rebels, before the notion of divorce even was a thought. But then Jesus adds his own God-like clincher. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Not God-like, God's word. What therefore God has joined together, Jesus says, let not man separate. Well, back to the original question the Pharisees ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? The quick answer, of course, is no. They are one flesh by the word of God, and that cannot be undone. They may divorce, and Moses even accommodates and legislates their divorcing. But divorce is never lawful, no matter what the circumstances. It may be tragically needed. It may be inevitable. It may not be possible even when two people are baptized children of God. Sometimes marital Humpty Dumpty, as it were, simply cannot be put back together again. But it is never lawful. And that's a good illustration for us today of how the law truly works. It always kills you. It always accuses you. It never leaves you off the hook. And even when it grants you a loophole and accommodates the hardness of your heart, it loops around and bites you in the backside. Do you think that you can justify your actions with the law? Think again. Do you think you can sit in judgment of another and not be judged yourself? Think again. Do you think you can somehow make up for things, make things right, atone for your sins, fashion your own righteousness at the expense of others? Think again. You're dead wrong. Now the disciples, being good students, ask about this privately, behind closed doors, as it were. They were bothered by this, troubled by it, and Jesus doesn't pull any punches with them. Instead, He actually increases the pressure. Whoever divorces his wife, he says, and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. That goes beyond Moses. Jesus just sealed Moses' loopholes shut. No divorce, no remarriage. Gifts refused, hardened hearts. You remember how the vows go, until death us do part. Death, not divorce, is what ends the one flesh of husband and wife. Anything else, Jesus says, is adultery. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. You're saying, hey, hold it, Fro. I know many Christian people that are divorced and remarried. I even know some pastors that were divorced and remarried. And I have friends and family and neighbors and 50% of our society. And in case you are sitting there smugly with your happy marriage intact, thinking to yourself, thank God I'm not like those losers. Well, remember what Jesus said about that stray look or that adulterous thought. He said, you've committed adultery too. And maybe now it's beginning to sink in just a little more about this fearsome law of a holy God, a law that has no loopholes, that crushes sin-hardened hearts to pieces, that brooks no arguments and no self-justifications. One thing it means is that you cannot and should not go around asking questions like, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? In fact, if you're thinking that way, you're best off not asking anything that begins with the phrase, is it lawful? Because if you ask that at all, if you have to ask, you already know the answer. And the law is not going to help you one whit. Think about, just for a brief moment, how sin has corrupted the good that God has given. Think about how sin has dulled that joy that Adam expressed in the Old Testament today when he first laid eyes on his bride Eve and said, finally, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Think about how sin takes the joy of the wedding day and turns it into a drudgery, a weariness, so that religious people can come up to Jesus asking, is it lawful to divorce my wife? That's sin at work in our old Adam, who turned his back on his bride and left her alone and isolated, the woman that you gave to be with me, who pointed the accusing finger, blaming her for his own sin. It's played out today in our culture, in our society, and maybe even in our own homes with great and deep sadness, uprooting families, leaving children without father or mother, husbands and wives who are at one flesh but gnawing at each other's throats, looking for an escape clause, a loophole, a way out. And even in homes that sometimes appear to be intact, there are undercurrents of discontent, neglect, complacency, and even abuse. Affections alienated by pornography or dulled by alcohol and drugs. It was not so from the beginning. This is not the gift God has given. In Ephesians chapter 5, we get some clarification when St. Paul quotes this verse from Genesis, that a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And then he says this very remarkable thing, at least remarkable to me. He says, this is about Christ and the church. That might not be immediately obvious on first reading or even second or third reading, this Adam and Eve record is about Christ, the second Adam, and his bride, the church. Here we see God in action, redeeming, restoring, raising up from the dead. Christ leaves father and mother at his altar, the cross. He is forsaken by the father there, and he gives his mother to John. He leaves his father and mother in order to cling to his bride, the church, that bride that is created out of his own sacramentally wounded side in the water and in the blood. Marriage can't save us. Marriage is not a means of grace. It simply points out how much we need grace. And marriage is not eternal. In the resurrection, Jesus says we neither marry nor are given in marriage. But there is a marriage that does save and is eternal. Here is a one flesh union that cannot be destroyed. The marriage of Christ and his bride. The union of Christ and his baptized believers. The communion of Christ with his communicants who share in his body and blood, and so are one body with him. Not sexually, as in our marriages, but sacramentally, in the marriage that counts for eternity. There, in Christ, not in Moses, not in legalistic loopholes, not in the law, is your hope and your certainty. In Christ, and his marriage to his church. There is one more thought in the text that we cannot ignore. The gospel ends with little children. That's kind of fitting, I think, because children seem to appear to get the short end when there's a divorce involving families. Parents were bringing little children to Jesus so that he might touch them in blessing. But the disciples rebuke those parents for bothering Jesus and for the fuss that the little ones were making. What on earth did Jesus want with children? What kind of messianic army could be assembled with even infants? But surprisingly, Jesus is not like the disciples. His response is indignant. We might even say downright angry. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. And Jesus took them up in his arms. They must have been very little children. And he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Because Jesus loves all fallen humanity, that's why we bring even our babies to baptism, that Jesus may touch them and bless them. Who would not want that for their children? But even more, these little ones are the only ones in this whole reading of today's gospel who get it. They get it in the way of faith. The only ones who do not come with some bargaining chip, some credential, some tidbit of self-justification. These are the little ones, the babies. Not the Pharisees, not the disciples, the babies. They're the picture of the kingdom of God. It's not that they're sinless, oh, far from it. It's not that they are innocent. It's that they are utterly helpless, and so he can freely give to them what he desires. Just as little children trust their parents, they have to be carried. They can't bring themselves. They receive it all as a gift, and Jesus takes them in his arms and blesses them. For us big little children, that's rather humbling, isn't it? We mature ones in our sophistication, our education, and our experience are being told that the way into the kingdom of God is very, very small. You must become very, very small. Like tiny babies, even newborns. I know a pastor friend who said, every baptism is an infant baptism because in every baptism, whether of a baby or an adult, a little one is born. Father welcomes all his children through his Son into his kingdom. In this littleness of faith, you receive the gifts from God, the giver. Forgiveness, life, salvation, and all that he gives you in this life, things you cannot find when you come through the law, including that one with whom you are one flesh, your wife, your husband, unto death part you. Death will never part you from the Lord. Your Father welcomes you to his family because you are the bride of his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.